I want to talk to you about the three Bible bears. Yes, you heard me right. The three Bible bears. And so if you have your Bibles with you, and I know you do, and if you don't, there's one in the back of the pew. I want you to follow with me as I bring to you this morning the three Bible bears. And I hope you'll remember these three Bible bears because they bear truth in this day and in this age. And so the first bear that I want to talk to you about is found in just a minute here. I had these texts, and all right, let's go to Matthew 10, verse 38, because that's where we find one of the three Bible bears. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, and listen to what it says. And he who does not take the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And then I want to, with that, go to the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And this is what it says there. Then he said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And then Luke 14, 27. Luke chapter 14, verse 27. Listen to what it says here. Luke 14, 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, that's a revolutionary text, isn't it? And there is, what shall I say, no getting around it. It simply says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So the first bear I want to talk about for a few moments this morning is bearing the cross. You know, Jesus bore the cross for us. He was carrying the cross. You'll remember reading this in the Gospels. And it was such a heavy load that he fell. He was just prostrate. And the soldiers made Simon the Cyrene carry the cross for him, because he couldn't even do it. But the Lord calls out to you and to me. And when we accept his way, and when we accept his path, and when we accept his guidance for our life, he says, bear my cross. So I'm asking you this morning, and I'm asking myself, how much have we borne the cross? What has been our experience in bearing the cross for Jesus? Now, I realize, and I'm sure you realize too, that in North America especially, it's not all that difficult to be a Christian, not that difficult to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And we're not persecuted for our faith, not very often, not very severely. And yet the Bible says that his people are going to go through difficulty and through persecution and through oppression. And I learned an awful lot about God's people bearing the cross in my visits to the land of Ukraine. Some of you know that I've been connected with Ukraine, having been there 13 times, having a couple of series of meetings, having raised funds for 31 churches, one campground. But the thing that impressed me so much about those people in Ukraine were the cross that they had to carry for 71 years of communist oppression. And they told me many stories. I remember one story, the wife of the treasurer of one local conference was telling about her grandfather, who was a local Seventh-day Adventist pastor who had three churches that he administered. The secret police came to him one day and said, "You have to quit preaching. You have to give up your church." Well, he said, "I can't." "Oh, yes, you can. All you have to do is lock up your church and tell your people there are no more services and act normal again." But he said, "I can't do that." "Why can't you do that?" "Well, because I have a commission from God. I've been called to be a shepherd of the flock, to share with them the word of truth from the scriptures, and I cannot stop doing that." "Well," they said, "we'll see. All we want to advise you is to not open that church again." Well, of course, you know what he did. He opened the church for Sabbath, and the next Sabbath, and the next Sabbath, and prayer meetings. They came again. They said, "If you value your life, listen to what we're telling you to do." He said, "I value my life, but I have dedicated my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in his hands." Well, one day they came with a document, and they said, "If you value your life, you're going to sign this document." "Well, what does the document say?" "Well, here's what it says. There's a whole list of things we want you to deny. We want you to deny that there is a God in heaven. We want you to deny that there is a heaven. We want you to deny the Sabbath. We want you to deny the second. All these things, all you have to do is at the bottom put down, 'I deny these things,' and your name, and you'll be all right, and you'll be left to live on your own. We'll give you a few days to think about it. We're going to come back, and we want the signed document." Well, they did come back. They asked for the signed document. But this dear pastor gave him back the document, but it wasn't signed. And he said, "I cannot deny the God whom I've trusted for so long and I've worked for so long. I can't deny his word. And therefore, here's the document back." Well, they said, "We'll give you 24 hours to change your mind. We're going to come tomorrow morning, and if you have not signed this, we're taking you out into the field and we're going to shoot you." They came back 24 hours later, and sure enough, the document wasn't signed. And sure enough, they took this dear man out into the field in the middle of winter, and three communist soldiers, you know, these brave, bold soldiers with guns, three with guns against one, and they shot this dear man in cold blood and left him there, and his relatives took and buried him. When I heard that story, I said to myself, I can understand a little better about bearing your cross. I was visiting with some other folk, and this lady told me about her grandfather, who was the leader of a new group in this city in western Ukraine. And they had discovered the Sabbath, and they had begun to keep Sabbath holy, and they started services. And they would gather week after week, and finally the police came and said, "You cannot do this. It's against the law." Of course, there was no law for it, but they said there was. They put him in jail. They let him out in a couple of weeks, but they kept on meeting. And then they decided to give them some real punishment, as they worded it. So they brought him in before the judge. The judge declared them guilty, and the judge told them they were going to get punishment. And the punishment was this. They took him out and they asked him to take their shoes off. And they beat the soles of their feet until they were black and blue and in tatters. And when they beat them long enough and hard enough, they said, okay, now you can go home. They were 4 miles away from home. And as they tried to walk, they couldn't because of the pain in the soles of their feet. And so they crawled hands and knees on their hands and knees to get home. But that didn't stop them. And today there is a large church there of 275 members that is a thriving church. As I said, I learned something about bearing your cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. The second bear that I want to talk about this morning is the one found in Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it says. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, and considering yourself, if lest you also be tempted, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The first bear the cross. The second bear is bear one another's burdens. Someone once said to me when I said that, they said, listen, I've got enough of my own burdens. I can't take on someone else's besides the ones I already have. You don't know how heavy my burdens are. So please don't ask me to bear someone else's burdens. Well, that's what the Lord is asking. He says, bear one another's burdens. In the book of Romans chapter 15, it says, verse 1, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. And so the second bear is that we are to bear one another's burdens. That is a biblical imperative, a biblical principle. We're in this world to act as Jesus' hands and feet. Bear one another's burdens. That's not easy, you know, because as I have already mentioned, we feel that we have enough of our own burdens. Now let me ask you a question. How does a church become a caring church? Is this the way it's done? We call a meeting of this church board and we discuss it for a while and then we move that this church be called a caring church. Then we take it to the church in business session and we vote it officially and then we get a sign painter with a big, you know, area, and he paints on it, this is a caring church, and we paste it up on the side of the church. That makes a caring church, does it not? You're not convinced, are you? You're not convinced, because it takes more than putting a sign up. It takes more than declaring that it's a caring church. I want to turn to the book of Luke chapter 10. And in the book of Luke chapter 10 is that marvelous story of the Good Samaritan. You remember that. To me, that is a tremendous lesson on caring. Luke chapter 10. You'll remember what happened in that story. And you'll remember that this man went out and it says that he fell among thieves. And these thieves were not kind to him. They stripped him of his clothing. They wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. I've always wondered about that term, half dead. You know what I mean? What it really means. Well, someone once said to me, well, it means half alive. Well, yeah, that's right, half dead, half alive. Well, here is this poor man. And in this story, to me, there are three philosophies that are listed here as far as caring goes. The first philosophy, of course, is that which was carried out by these thieves. And that philosophy was, what's yours is mine. I'll take it. And that philosophy, of course, is a rather common one today, isn't it? People who are stealing and scamming, and whenever there's a riot, somebody is breaking the windows of the stores and the stuff is going out there, and identity, the theft, and so on. What's yours is mine, I'll take it. That was the philosophy of the robbers. Then the Bible says there was the priest and the Levite. And listen, it says, now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I don't know where the priest was going, but he must have been in a hurry because he didn't find time to help. It's possible he was going to a seminar meeting, 2 or 3 days maybe. That basic theme of the seminar meeting was how to help your fellow man. That may have been where he was going. He passed by on the other side. And because his philosophy was, what's mine is mine, I'll keep it. And that's a comfortable kind of a philosophy, isn't it? It's a safe type of philosophy. In fact, the Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. Belonged to the same company, same union. And they both passed by on the other side. You know, a few years ago, I was at a dentist, and he was doing a root canal on me. That's one of those pleasant jobs that you have when you go to the dentist, the root canal. And I was up there for an hour and a half. In fact, it was 2 teeth, I think. And for some reason, when I got outside after I came down from the 5th story... the sun was so bright, and I was kind of disoriented, and I was walking down the sidewalk, and all of a sudden, I was going down a bit, and I fell. I had just had my knee surgery, and I was favoring that knee that I had surgery done on. And I fell flat on my face, and I hit my nose. Someone once said when I told that story, well, can't help it, it always gets there first, you know. Anyway, I hit the cement with my nose, and I was out for a little while, just a little while. When I came to here, there was blood gushing out of my nose, just gushing out, and my glasses were about 10 feet away. The papers I had were over in the side. And I was laying there, and I'm wondering, what am I doing here on the sidewalk? And it's interesting that I saw a man coming up the street, and I said to myself, aha, he's going to help me. And the man actually passed by on the other side. And I thought of this parable, or this story of the Good Samaritan. Passed by on the other side. Finally, shortly after him, a tall lady came by, and I said, I think she'll stop. And she did. She said, can I help you? I said, you sure can. Can I call the ambulance? I said, no, I don't want to go to the hospital emergency, because the last time I went, I found that the word emergency meant waiting for 3.5 hours. So she said, well, follow me. There's doctor's office just up the street here, and I happened to be a doctor there. So I did follow her, and she fixed me up, and things turned out all right. But here was the philosophy of the Levite and the priest, who said, what's mine is mine, I'll keep it. Thank you just the same. Well, then there is the Good Samaritan who came along. The Good Samaritan. And we find that he had a different philosophy than the first two. And that it says here, a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. You see, that's the difference. God's people are a people who must have compassion because Jesus had compassion and we represent him. And so you see what that compassion made him do. And you read about it here in the 34th verse. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds. First of all, he bandaged his wounds. Now, that must have cost him something, because bandages aren't free. If he used his own shirt, that was expensive. And then it says he poured in oil and wine. That must have cost something too, because oil costs money and so does wine. He set him on his own animal. That cost him the ability to ride his own donkey, because now he had to walk. And then it says he took him to an inn and took care of him. And motels in those days, just like now, do cost money, although now they seem to cost a lot more. But here was someone who was able to and willing to and anxious to help, because his philosophy was, what's mine is yours. I'll share it. I will share my time. I'm sure that this detour was not in his to-do list. I'll share my effort. And the bandages and the wine and the oil and the inn. And then besides that, he said, now listen, I'm going to give the motel my credit card number. Well, not quite. Denarius is not a name of a motel. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Bear ye one another's burden. Here was a man, a member of a minority group in Israel, who knew and understood what it meant to carry one another's burden. What's mine, what's yours is mine, I'll keep it. This was the philosophy of the thieves. What's mine is mine, I'll keep it. That was the philosophy of, I'm sorry, what's yours is mine, I'll take it. Philosophy of the robbers. What's mine is mine, I'll keep it. Philosophy of the priests and the ruler, priests and the Levite. What's mine is yours, I'll share it. The philosophy of the Good Samaritan. Well, then we come to the third bear. The first bear, bearing the cross. The second bear, bearing one another's burdens. The third bear is found in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 17. Galatians, chapter 6, verse 17. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful text. Because the Apostle Paul had many, many marks. physical marks. You'll find a list of them in 2 Corinthians 11, 22 to 28. He lists them there. He doesn't do it to brag, but he's listing them there because he's saying there are those who are bragging. Let me tell you about the things that have happened to me. And it begins with verse 22. And in verse 24, it says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked at night and at day. I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And so he lists all these things, the physical marks. Now, as far as I know, I don't bear physical marks of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people do. And Paul was one that had a tremendous amount of these marks. Physical marks, not just the, just marks, but physical marks. I've met people who've had physical marks that they have earned from their life of wickedness, their life of loose living. Remember reading about, I didn't actually meet this person, reading about a man who had a scar from his ear right down to his bottom of his jaw. Someone asked him, well, where did you get that mark from anyway? And he said, I'm not very proud of it. But before I became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I used to get into fights, and I used to get into fights in the beer parlor. And I got into a fight with a certain person at a table over some insignificant things. And that person took a broken bottle and he just cut me from my ear to my jaw here. And I bear this mark all the time the rest of my life. Well, here we have these three bears, which to me are very vital and important as far as the Christian walk's concerned. Bearing the cross, bearing each other's burdens, and bearing the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're important marks because we, our goal, our desire is to be like Christ. In the book, Christ's Object Lessons, page 69, it says, Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim his own. Were all who profess his name bearing fruit to his glory, how quickly the whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. Quickly the last great harvest would be ripened and Christ would come to gather the precious grain. So I say, may the Lord help us that we might indeed take on those three bears, bearing the cross, bearing each other's burdens, and bearing the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, let me share just a little story that may help to illustrate what I mean, being like Christ. Years ago, 2 6-year-olds lived side by side. They went to school together. They went to church together. They played together. They were inseparable. One day a terrible thing happened as Sylvia, Janie's friend, as Sylvia was walking down the road, a drunk driver erratically came down the road and actually got onto the sidewalk and hit Sylvia. She was rushed to the hospital, and when she got there, she was declared dead. What a sorrow that was to her mother. What a sorrow it was to her father. What a sorrow it was for for Janie, for now Sylvia was gone. The next day, Janie, 6 years old now, remember, said to her mother, "I'm going over to Sylvia's mother." "You're going over to Sylvia's mother?" "Yes." "What are you going to do over there?" "Well, I'm going to comfort her." "You're going to comfort her?" "Yes." So she went. Half an hour later, she came back. But she didn't say anything. And finally, Mother said, "Did you see Sylvia's mother?" "Yes." "Well, what did you say to her?" I didn't say anything to her. I just jumped on her lap. And I sat on her lap and we cried together. We cried together. You know, there are people in this world who need for you and me to cry together with them. There are people in this world who need for you and me to listen to them. We live in a world that is overrun with information thrown at us, right? Whether it's on television or radio or wherever, the experts are always interpreting something or telling us or directing us as what to believe or who to like or whatever. They are trying to convince us. And here are these many, many people who no one listens to, especially older people. No one wants their counsel. No one wants their opinion. And they just want someone to listen to them, someone to share their grief and their pain and their disappointments with them. And I believe that Jesus has picked us, has chosen us to be those people who are an extension of the compassion of Jesus when he was on this earth, so that we indeed might be his true representatives. May that be our goal. May this week we search for someone whom we can help in the Christian walk, to whom we can represent Jesus. We can bear a bit of their burden. This is my prayer. Amen.